The Gospel reading, Luke chapter 8, 26 through 39. Then Jesus and his disciples arrived at the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. And he stepped out on land. A man of the city who had demons met him. For a long time he had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house but in tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For many times it had seized him. It was kept under guard and bound in chains, in shackles. But he would break the bounds and be driven by the demons into the wilds. Jesus then asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. They begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss. Now there on the hillside, a large herd of swine were feeding, and the demons begged Jesus to let them enter these. So he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherd saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country. Then people came out to see what had happened, and when they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So he got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him, but Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, children of God. I bring you greetings from my Lord and Savior, first of all, who is Jesus Christ, and also from my home church, Grace Lutheran Church in Evanston, Illinois. It is such a pleasure to have received an invite from Pastor Jason. When I think of Grace, I believe that Wicker Park, in some sense, we're all one family. When I think of the history that you have, where you're standing for the rights of all peoples and for the kind of justice and evangelism of the Word of God out in this beloved community, even as my church has a history of standing for all. And in that sense, I'm so blessed to have this opportunity to be with you here on today. I just want to touch for a few minutes, mostly connected to our New Testament reading that we had. Because in that New Testament reading, there's a focus at the end, if you'll remember, and it says at the very end about living in the promise. Living in the promise for the Gentiles was an important aspect because they had been put down often to be connected back to the seed of Abraham. And not to get into too much theology here, but the key aspect was that Paul wanted to assure them that you also were children of God. And don't let anybody try to stop the young movement that has been started in you as the church of God. So living in the promise was his word to them, those that felt like maybe they didn't have a place as Gentile Christians connected to the great father in the Israel nation of Abraham. Living in the promise. In a sense, though, how do you live in the promise when you're feeling the pain of being left out? When you're feeling the pain of being excluded? That is a key aspect because that can weigh you down. It can weigh you down in terms of the movement of what I just said concerning the Gentiles at that day. It can weigh you down in terms of yourself as a church here on this beacon here at Lemoyne, where you're standing for justice and being a light on a hill in this community. How do you throw off the shackles sometimes? Like in our gospel reading, this man was trying to throw off these shackles. How can you throw off the shackles and live in the promise when the pain is so real? Now, this, of course, harpens back to also what we just, as a church family, touched on here this morning. The 59 ringings of the bell, and I'm so happy to have been a part of this liturgical experience with you because it brings us right here to today, here in America. The tragedy that just took place in Orlando, Florida, speaking of living in the pain, but yet the charge of the promise. But not only that, as Pastor Jason said, but 2 days ago, the one-year anniversary of those families that were shattered in pain also in a church. Oh, children of God, living in the promise, but yet burdened with the pain. But maybe, as we say in my tradition, coming up your street, maybe it's more personal than that. Maybe there's a lost one in the family. Maybe there's a struggle with relationship. And even as this is on Father's Day, I share with you all in terms of that, as I just recently in my family, we just lost our father-in-law a couple of weeks ago, and his birthday is this week at 92 years old. So living in the personal pain as well as in the corporate pain, but yet trying to reach out and connect to the promise, because sometimes the pain can be as long-lasting even as the promise that Jesus came to share in the gospel. How do we break free, sisters and brothers? That is the challenge. This is indeed the fifth Sunday after Pentecost. But sometimes maybe you don't feel the Pentecost blessing. Maybe you're still trapped in the pain coming back to the cross at the crucifixion. You know, I'm one that likes to preach through biblical characters. And I want to touch somewhat today when we talk about trying to break through that. When we speak about Pentecost, I want to come back to that upper room. That upper room right after the crucifixion where Jesus had appeared to the disciples. I think that there's something there with that apostle Thomas that is a key for how we can break through. I think that he was placed there in a key way that I want to lift up here today of how we can break through this. You see, now, a Thomas oftentimes, he gets a bad rap. We know the story quite well, and I won't take you all the way through it, but the key aspect, as you know, is that he just simply said, I don't want to move forward. Don't get into the fact of whether I was late. Don't get into the fact of whether I wasn't there. And I can understand your joy from a distance. But what I'm telling you is, I just lost a friend. What I'm telling you is that a movement that we were about to all 10 of you that still stand here, to me, you're disgracing the movement. You say that you saw Jesus. You say that you did. And even if you did, the pain still weighs on me. I saw what they did to him. I saw what they did to this moment, to this movement. Can you walk away from that? I think in a real sense, the LGBT community can connect with Brother Thomas. When you think about the pain of what just took place in Orlando. And sometimes in our own personal lives, Jesus is asking us to go forward as he did to the man in the gospel reading. He said, go back to your home and tell what God has done for you. But in many times, we get weary. We get troubled because the pain is overwhelming. My sisters and brothers, there's something though in that text that I think helps pull us to an understanding of what Jesus wanted Thomas to understand. If you ever get a chance to look back at it, you know how when Lazarus died, Jesus took time before he came to raise Lazarus. And I was touched when I read this story on Thomas. You would think that if Jesus would appear, and if Thomas just had a simple question, then Jesus would just simply reappear, maybe right even then. Maybe Jesus would come back the next day and solve everything and it would be over and there would be great joy. But did you know that in the text it says that Jesus did not reappear to the disciples for 8 days? Can you imagine that? I know it's sometimes we skip right over that and we move forward, but 8 days, he let Thomas be in his pain. It's one thing when Lazarus had died, but in this situation, Thomas had to go home each and every day, each and every night in that pain, while others were rejoicing somehow around him. And Jesus did not reappear. I think that Jesus was trying to set forth a message to Thomas and a message to us. Because you see, they were also hiding in that room, in the upper room. That's not brought out too much. You see, the state had, in essence, crucified Jesus, and now it was looking for them. And so the question was, even after Jesus appeared to them, and even after Jesus to ascend, they needed to have an understanding of how to connect with God that would get past what they see. They needed to have an understanding that could connect with God, that could get past even touching where the nails had scarred his hands and the sword had went into his side. And so for 8 days, I believe, saints, that Thomas had to wrestle with coming to find God. Now, you can say, well, how do I come to that understanding? I somehow go back within my own African-American religious tradition, and I see that. There's another anniversary that happens to be on this very day as well. It seems to be a Sunday of anniversaries and sendings. But quickly speaking, in the African-American tradition, June 19th, that was the day going back to right after the Civil War when finally the North had won. And finally, everybody that had been enslaved were finally informed. And the first group that was informed was in Texas. And it was on the 19th, and in broken English, the word became Juneteenth. Juneteenth became the celebration of the Emancipation Proclamation that Abraham Lincoln had signed 2.5 years ago. And what I get from that, saints, is, but can you imagine that? He signed it 2.5 years ago. And we're going to celebrate Harriet Tubman being on Money in 2020. But Harriet Tubman was back there in 1863. And she was not invited to the celebration at the White House when they signed the Emancipation in January of 1863. Can you imagine that she still had to go forth and do her mission with the Union Army and go forth and believe in this cause that nobody really knew about? But yet she had to find the faith. I would say here, that was her 8-day experience, saints. You may be having an 8-day experience yourself. You need to do what she did and go to my Savior Jesus and find a special experience that will cause you to go forth. You know, there's another person that whom is named after our great founder, Martin Luther King. And he had a famous experience as well along these lines. You know the story well, of course, with Rosa Parks in December of 1955 and what took place. But did you know that that whole movement could have fell apart in 2 months? Because this is also, again, on anniversary. This is the 60th year anniversary. It's known in the African-American religious experience of what they call the great, although he was already a child of God, he was already saved, as we say, but we call it the kitchen experience in terms of Martin Luther King standing for justice, because it was 2 months into that struggle in 1956, January of 1956, that just on one particular evening when he came home and tried to get some rest after being in the movement and in the council meeting all night long until midnight, that the phone rang. And he said, I've gotten those calls before, but this time somehow, when he was called the N-word by the voice on the other line, and they told him, you know what? You've been down here for 2 months. You're not even from Montgomery. What do you think you are doing? We are tired of you now. We are tired of this. We thought that you would lead something for 30 days, but you think that you can still lead a movement. But this is Montgomery. This is not Atlanta. This is not Boston up in the north. This is Montgomery. And they told him, you got 3 days to get out of town, or else we're going to blow your head off and take down your house with a bomb. This time, Martin Luther King said, he got up, and this time, some kind of way, as a young man, 26, 27, it got to him. And he said that he went down into the kitchen. They call it the kitchen conversion. He went into the kitchen. This was his 8-day experience. This is what you may have to do too. Get by yourself. He said, this time I heated up some coffee, but it wasn't giving me the satisfaction. And I started thinking about all of the religious understandings that I had from studying back in Boston. I started thinking about everything about Gandhi, but it seemed like the voice on the other line said, we don't care about what you're talking about here about a man from India. This is Montgomery. And he said to himself, Martin Luther King, I've got to find a connection deeper right now, God. He started praying, and as he said, he prayed out loud that night. He said, God, I don't want to show that I'm faltering. This whole movement could fall apart right now. I don't want to show it, but I just can't seem to connect anymore. I don't want to lose my new young wife. And he said, we had only one little baby at that time. He said, I have $4 now. When he preached this sermon later in the late 60s, he let us know what happened. The movement almost stopped in 56. He said, I don't want to lose my little girl, Lord, but I really don't think this is for me. And he prayed, God, God, what shall I do? And all of a sudden, out of his prayer, he said he heard the voice of Jesus break through. And you can Google it yourself on YouTube. What I like about it, saints, too, as Lutherans, he said God spoke to him and called him Martin Luther and said, Martin Luther, stand up for justice. Stand up for righteousness. And what I like about his saints is that he ended in a Lutheran way, because he said to him, lo, I will be with you always. I will be right by your side. And my presence, the promise of me, is why you can go on. The king said he heard the thunder roar. I won't try to be like him. And he said he seen the lightning flash. But when he heard the voice of Jesus say, still to fight on, he said he promised never to leave me, never to leave me. That's what took him through, saints. And I just want to say here today, as I move toward my seat, that's what needs to inspire us. Because in that experience that I just talked about with Martin Luther King and what I just talked about with Harriet Tubman, the 2.5 years, the pain remained. The pain remained after Jesus appeared to Thomas. The pain remained. Even in our gospel reading, that man was more than likely still ridiculed daily, no matter the fact of the demons having left him. They still probably talked against him about how he used to be. And that's what was happening with the Gentiles, also in Galatians. But they had that experience that Jesus let us know that no matter how the pain sits in your life, saints, amen to this, don't give up on the promise. The pain may be there, but the promise dwells as well, saints. Can I get an amen? The promise dwells as well. The promise, the presence is here. I don't have an answer for why Orlando happened. I don't have an answer for why Charleston happened. But thanks be to God, I stand here today in the spirit of our Father on Father's Day, our father and mother, and say that God is with you with a part. God will be with you in the darkness of the hour. Just like the rest is history with Martin Luther King, just like the rest was history with Harriet Tubman. Go forth from here, saints, and continue to create your own history as a beloved community right here in Wicker Park. God bless you.